Ladies and gentlemen, two men from opposite ends of the physical, cultural, and emotional spectrums. Flats and Shanks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 14. I'm going to stop doing the numbers at some point, so I don't know what number it is. It doesn't matter. Then the latest episode of our podcast, I'm David Flatman.
And I'm Tom Shanklin.
Hiya, Tom.
Hi, David.
All right?
I'm all right. I'm a little bit tired, mate.
Yeah, we're going to come to that. I know exactly why.
Yeah, been working. That's what I've been doing.
Grafting, yeah. Sounded grim, actually.
Yeah,
we are coming to you this week from, I would say, my kitchen, but what they call in America, they call it a super room. It's a kitchen diner.
I can't work out where the kitchen ends and the dining room starts. It's that big.
And the bliss begins. Yeah.
You could easily rollerblade around here.
Yeah, that's an exaggeration.
It's not.
We are in basically my kitchen. So behind Shanks is my dishwasher, but I am unwilling to turn that off for this podcast because it's faulty and it might not come back to life.
And you also have a nice bath shirt of your own put up.
Yeah.
Standard.
Yeah. Now look, everyone's different. I went for years, been living in this house about 3.5 years now. And until then, I had never had a rugby picture, jersey, one of my many, many trophies or medals hanging up. I'd never had England caps or anything like that hanging up. All of my England caps would have taken up a whole wall, if you include schoolboys and A's.
Yeah.
And 21s, Colts.
County.
County, sevens, universities. But I did actually, when we moved in here, my wife was adamant we should have something on there because rugby has played such a big part in our lives, not just mine.
Yeah.
So I said, I've given every single bit of kit I've ever had has gone, given away because I'm a great guy. Should have sold it really and gone on holiday. Anyway, but I kept the jersey from 2003-04 in Bath because that was my favourite ever season of playing rugby.
Did it actually fit you, that shirt? Because it looks, has it been pulled tight or is that an actual shirt?
There is a good chance that wouldn't fit me now. When I arrived at Bath, I was about 110 kilos. And when I retired, I was about 123, 125.
Ah, okay.
But yeah. I believe it or not, I was leaner at the end than I was at the start.
Stress.
Yeah. Yeah, and smoking. Just really, you know, aggressive rollies. Lots and lots of rollies. these little hands of mine. Anyway, we're in my kitchen. Shanks has made the trek over from Cardiff. Took you about 2 hours, didn't it?
Yeah, traffic's bad. Especially when you want to meet here at 9 o'clock. In the morning.
Yeah.
Traffic everywhere.
I'm a busy guy.
But I love traffic. It's fine. I love sitting in traffic.
Yeah, it's all right.
Like nothing more.
So tell us, we'll talk about what's going to be on the show if you want, or let's just talk about what you've been doing over the last few days. Because it's Tuesday morning here, everyone, where we are, and
yes,
the weather is grim. But why are we doing this on Tuesday and not our normal Sunday night or Monday, Tom?
Because like you, Dave, I've had a busy day working, a busy weekend, working. Being flat out, mate, just trooping.
Just doing the media stuff, was it?
Yeah, just a bit of media stuff in Dubai. Did I just say it?
Over in Dubs?
Yeah.
All right, so talk to me what it was.
Well, the company, my company, it's also Pete Leckie's and Rhys Blumberg's. We are called LS Media.
Hang on, Rhys Blumberg being the boyfriend of Jules, who produces and edits this podcast for us. She's a really good professional, but as you all know, we give her absolute crap to work with in terms of sound quality.
We give her nothing.
Yeah.
She actually has to work very hard to get us to sound like this.
If you could hear this podcast before Jules gets her hands on it, you wouldn't listen.
So anyway.
Yeah.
We took a tour party over to Dubai for the sevens. So we put a package together of flights, accommodation, sevens, stuff in the evening. And we sold it in Cardiff and took over around 20 people.
So when you say stuff in the evening.
Yes, mate.
Ballroom dancing, what did you do over there?
well, first night we went to a Royal Marines charity dinner, which was really good. And Joe Roth spoke.
Oh yeah, he's good apparently.
He is good. Yeah. Tells a really good story about, he is the only person still, I believe, that has scored 2 tries in a test against the Lions.
Okay.
Yes.
That'll do it. Yeah. I remember him being really hairy. Is he still really hairy?
His arms were quite hairy, but he didn't take his top off. So, and I saw a little bit of the back hair as well. You know, the neck hair that extends down to the back.
That'd make you so hot in Dubs, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, he was wearing all white.
Yeah.
So he looked a bit like a sheik.
Yeah.
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 So that was dinner on the first night, and we had loads of Thatchers around the table, cider, because basically the guy organising the dinner, a guy called David Skidmore, loves cider.
Does anyone ever call him Skidmark?
Skidders. Yeah.
Other cider is available, it's just not as tasty, and it's not from near Bath either.
No, it's not. So we went there, and then we went to a place called Zero Gravity then in the evening, which I'd booked a table there, and we saw a guy called Sub Focus. Now, someone asked me, oh, do you know Sub Focus? Like, yeah.
Yeah, my homeboy, yeah.
Never heard of him. I thought he was someone from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
But he was actually really good.
Was he? What, was he like a rapper or something?
He was a DJ, mate.
DJ? Or was he an MC or a DJ?
No, he's a DJ, and then I think there's an MC then as well.
Okay.
You know, like saying stuff like, listen to the bass injection this way, that way, every direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Darkness, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Proper dark beats, yeah.
So we went there, and it was pretty decent, to be honest, mate. You know, they had a smoke machine.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Love that.
Flashing lights, strobes.
Any foam?
You had to have a sign there for epilepsy because of the amount of lights that are coming down there.
Okay.
It was just incredible.
Any of your crowd epileptic?
No. Incredibly sweaty, a lot of my crowd were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's hot out there.
And Bubs, who's Pete Leck, we call him Bubs, did not stop dancing.
Has he got a real name, Bubs? I never knew he had a real name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4 hours he danced solid for. He was the sweatiest bloke there.
Yeah, but he'd be 6 inches shorter than me and a stone heavier, wouldn't he?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
probably.
Horrible Nick. Like, never going to make 50. That's what I think when I look at him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, mate, it was good. It was a very good sevens.
So, when you say you took some people out there, this is work for you.
Yes.
So, your company...
We do.
Name the company, please.
LS Media.
LS Media. What other companies are? That's it.
Yeah.
So,
we do sport and events, hospitality.
Okay. Yeah.
Dinners.
Okay.
That sort of stuff.
So... You take a lot of people, pay you
yes.
a set amount.
Yes.
And ideally you make a couple of quid off it and have a great time.
Yes.
Is it a load of like proper rugger buggers and, you know, blazers and ties, let's have a proper rugger tour, or is it a load of Welsh psychopath semi-alcoholics?
You can't go to Dubai and not drink, really.
You probably can.
Well...
Oh, not for the sevens, no, there's no point.
No, not for the sevens. So,
even Jace Robinson has a drink these days, doesn't he, out there?
Yeah, he does. Calibre.
Yeah.
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 Shandy. But, no, there's a lot of boys who... the sevens is like a festival, mate. It's not really... You know, you're not really there for the rugby. You're there just for the music and fancy dress. And we did a fancy dress day one day. We all had, like, Hawaiian shirts and Hawaiian hats on, like captains, like Hawaiian naval captains. Sounds rubbish, but it really was amazing.
Sounds rubbish.
Yeah. And we had buses everywhere. So we had buses after the sevens to take us to beach bars and the Irish.
So all the buses are booked by you because you're quite organised, aren't you?
Yes. And so I was ringing this guy on the last day trying to find him because you imagine like 40,000 people leaving the sevens. Some are going to taxis, some have got private taxis, some have got buses booked.
Yeah.
And there's all these little Indian guys there who drive all the buses and they're all... try and ring one to find out where he is and tell him we're here, and we eventually find him and we're walking around a car park full of white buses and he can't find his bus, right? So we're following him around and he's going, yeah, I'll find it now. How do you know it's yours? Bear in mind there's all these buses that look the same. And he goes, oh, my jacket's on the seat. So we have a look at all these buses. So we went around for about 10 minutes and it was right by the where he picked us up, right by the exit eventually.
What an idiot. You filled him in for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a body shot, so we don't want to mark him.
Yeah, cushion punches, isn't it?
Yeah. And then we had Rhys Blumberg on the mic.
Oh yeah, Blum.
Because the sevens is no way near anywhere. You have to get a bus and taxi. It's like half hour away.
So if you're actually like working on the TV there, it'd be a bit of a bore ache.
Yeah, but the taxis are pretty cheap and it's not too bad to get anywhere. It's half an hour between.
Yeah.
Half an hour together. But luckily we had the entertainer, that is Rhys Blumberg, to sing to us.
On the mic.
Tell us jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Old school rugby songs?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Of course. He's just making songs up as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I remember, on the various tours you go on at whatever level, you tend to have, if you've got bus journeys, you have a bus MC.
Yeah.
So 2010, I went to Australia, New Zealand with England, and they were like, right, we're not a test team and a midweek team. We're not dirt trackers and test team. We are one family. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But can these 22 guys go on this bus to this training ground? Can these 22 guys go down the road and train in the field next to the hotel? So we were dirt tracking. So you had basically James Haskell called himself number one. He was called number one because he was the MC on the test bus.
Yeah.
And I was number two because I was MC on the dirt trackers bus, but we're one family, yeah?
Yeah.
Except we weren't, and we only saw them on Wednesday night teamed in. It's the only time we saw those lads. But Haskell was brilliant. He was very, very good.
Really?
And we had all sorts of stuff like Dick of the Day. And yeah. You had this huge, remember you had this big rubber, it's a big rubber hat basically, but you can imagine what it's like. It's effectively, and this is a bit crude, it's like a big giant condom shaped hat. Right, so you've got to put it on. You don't wear it outside the bus because the press are about and all that. But the bus journeys were long, so you have to wear it. And you have to wear it to the team meetings. And Dick of the Day, whoever's been the biggest dick, has to wear it. So one day, I forget what Courtney Laws did.
Who was that mostly?
Well, it was different people every day, actually. But I can't actually remember who it was every day. But it was all just good fun. And Courtney Laws got it one day. And we're like, Courtney, you muppet. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that, or whatever it was. And he's like, oh, all right then. Because he looks like he is a big, hard unit.
Yeah.
But he's such a nice bloke. He's like, okay, no worries, boys. Do I have to keep it on? Do I have to take it off when I get off the bus? You know, it's like loveliest man. And the next day, I forget what happened, but Dylan Armitage had some sort of like, I forget what he did. He did something silly on a night out or in training, like he got punchy or something.
Yeah.
And I was there with Haskell. We're both on the same bus because it was, you know, our one broke down. And it must have been that reason. And Haskell was like, Dylan, you're a dick, put the hat on. And he's like, I ain't wearing that hat, mate. You ain't putting that on me. And we were like, oh, he's only joking, obviously, because he's like the 20th bloke to have done it. Everyone does it at some point. We all had it on.
Gotcha.
Dylan wouldn't have it. So in the end, I was like, look, I was on the mic. I was like, look, there is going to be a situation here where you're the only person who hasn't humbly accepted this hat. Right, the Dick of the Day hat. You've only got to wear it for half an hour on the bus. So it's going to be a situation. You're going to wear that hat. And then Haskell Stein kind of put the mic down and it was like, we're going to go a bit UFC on this.
Yeah.
And Haskell can go, you know, like a big, strong unit. And
we all can, mate.
Yeah, we could all. We're incredibly hard guys. And I actually thought, I don't want D-Lo to put this. I don't want him to put this hat on because I want him to have a fight with James Haskell because it'd be great value.
Yeah.
And Martin Johnson was at the front. And he was like, oh, yeah. I said, mate, there's going to be a punch up here. He said, happy days. And like, got up on his chair, up on one knee, and he's like, oh, let's have it. And then Dylan was like, all right, give us the hat. And we're like, boo, 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 boo.
Want to see a fight?
Want to see a scrap, yeah.
Well, Blum, right? Amazing. Amazing on front of the bus. He's doing the Mimic Man. It's like the Music Man. He's doing Frank Spencer. Oh, Betty. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. Michael Barrymore. All right. Probably sounds a little bit shit on here, but
it doesn't. It sounds amazing.
When you're 15 pints deep on a bus,
yeah,
and there's no music, it's a lifesaver.
Yeah, I can imagine those trips are. I've never been to Hong Kong or Dubai, and I guess one day I'll go. By the way, the main question is: did you meet up with Brian O'Driscoll for a pint?
No, I didn't.
How really? Because he sounded so keen.
He was texting me and ringing me. I didn't have time, mate. You know, I was entertaining clients.
Yeah,
you know, sure. I'm working, he's working. You know, I was only going to meet him if our paths crossed, and there was a time in the day that both of us could make it. But you know,
these busy guys, yeah.
Well, he's ringing me from 8 till
he's a nightmare.
12, just trying to meet up. And
no, he's a nightmare.
To be honest, he only gnaws me in the ear about rugby and stuff.
Yeah, and it's like whenever he comes to Bath to do European rugby commentary and stuff, he's always like, "Oh, can I stay at yours instead of the hotel?" And I just want to get to know your family, and I want to meet your kids, and I want to meet your wife, and I want to get to know your parents, and I'm outside your house. It's just weird.
Well, I'm there to relax.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want my ear chewed off. I don't want GBH in the ear, do I?
No, you don't, boy. No, you don't.
But it was an amazing trip, and, you know, for anyone that's been, they'll agree with me. But if you haven't been, you need to get out there. I need to come on LS Media's tour.
So, yeah, you do, actually. And I'm
you want to come, don't you?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm thinking. The difficulty is that it's over a weekend when I always work, so it's an Autumn Internationals weekend, and then the Hong Kong is during Six Nations, so I'm always...
The Hong Kong's after Six Nations.
Oh, is it? Okay, yeah. But I'm always working the Premiership stuff.
Yeah, I know.
So
I know that.
I can't always get away.
You tell me every week.
Yeah, Premiership. rugby. Yeah. So
tune in, Shanks. I'm on.
One interesting thing is that often when you go on these trips, like Hong Kong, like Dubai, and all that sort of stuff, that you tell your family that you're going to work.
Yes.
And they see you packing fancy dress and you're drinking shoes and you come back stinking of lager and broken.
Well, when I walked in through the door last night, they said, why did you go on holiday without us, Daddy? and then I gave them a little mash of the bear each and they loved it.
Yeah, of course.
Got two boys.
Yeah.
I don't have girls.
You give them both an uppercut. Yeah. It's all right. Yeah. So it's quite an interesting one. So when you sent me some videos on WhatsApp of your time over there.
Yes.
Had your wife seen those, I'm not convinced she would still regard it as work.
It's a form of work.
Yeah.
You know, if I enjoy myself while doing it, sue me.
Shoot me.
Yeah.
Throttle me. Yeah. Murder me. So massacre me and cut me up. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Waterboard me.
Waterboard me. Yeah.
Water sports me.
Water, don't go there. Right. Don't go there.
Fine.
So, yeah, I wasn't doing anything so interesting over the weekend, but I was doing a bit of corporate at Twickenham with Will Carling and a few others. There was like Campisi and...
Can we just before we get on to you, I just want to finish off with South Africa won the sevens and were absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
All the way through. Cecil Africa, what a player.
Yeah, he's a maker, isn't he?
And his surname is Africa and he lives in South Africa.
I know, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And his name's Cecil, which was the name of that gorgeous lion that was shot by that horrible git.
Yeah.
Wasn't it, Cecil?
Yes. The line.
And so it's almost like a nice little tribute to.
There's a guy called Swales and he used to play for Wales in the sevens, and none of the Kenyans could believe it. They're going, "Your name is Swales, and you play for Wales."
it was
incredible. But he was good. Dan Norton was really good for England as well.
Yeah, I watched him. He ran past me up the stairs at Twickenham after they got back from the Olympics.
Yeah, I remember you saying, like, you saw what a shape he was.
Just the rig. Just the rig on it.
Sanalta was also good for South Africa. They beat Fiji in the final. But it's just Damien Hoppers was out there.
Hoppers.
He hosted the first...
That's
dinner.
Damien Hopley, by the way, chairman of the Rugby Players Association.
Well, is it... Yeah. He's the man from Del Monte. He had a nice beige suit on.
Yeah.
Beige loafers.
Of course he did. Linen shirt.
Smooth.
Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah. Rob Vickerman.
Yeah.
He was out there, saw him in DHL 10 and...
Good egg.
Yeah, yeah. Media. Loves the media.
Did you interview him at all or speak on stage or anything?
No, it wasn't stage. We were just chatting around with DHL clients and stuff. And just, I said, come on, mate, stop using your TV voice all the time. he's just punchy when he speaks like that.
Was he broadcasting even when he was at the bar?
Yeah. It was like he was mic'd up or something. So there's just loads of ex-players.
So you went...
Kevin Yates.
Great guy. Yeah. It wasn't him that bit the guy, apparently.
All right. He had blood on his lips, anyway.
Simon Fenn, wasn't it? London Scottish.
Was it?
Kevin Yates got banned and went to the Hurricanes, I think, something like that.
Okay.
In Wellington.
Because they run a vets tournament alongside it, so a lot of the
Yates, he play in that?
Yeah.
He loves it, mate.
I know. Kerry Sweeney, remember him?
Chris Chesney used to call Kevin Yates Taka Nahanada. Because he looked like a sumo wrestler, you reckon. He looked Chinese, even though sumo wrestlers are Japanese. Anyway, one of those.
Yeah, Sweeney was out there. Truckhead, we call him. His head is absolutely
Kerry Sweeney.
Massive. Yeah. Who else is that? Jamie Ringer. Do you remember him? He's played back row. Anyway, he's got hair like Donald Trump right now.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah.
Like Harry from Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Pumpkinhead.
So like that.
I saw Jason Robinson out there playing. Paul Sampson was out there playing.
Didn't see him. They probably were joining Jax.
They were, yeah.
Yeah, they're out there playing.
There's photos on Instagram and Twitter of that, but there's loads of good ex-pros. Dennis Betts was out there. Rugby League. Dennis Betts was out there.
Oh, this gaming world.
He was out there.
Yeah.
Give him a shot, Gary said to him.
That's the fifth.
Knock it up.
Gotta kick it.
So that's the Rugby League stuff. That was Rugby League stuff, guys. So yeah, it looked good. Are you done on that now?
Yeah, done, mate. Done.
So anyway,
what did you do this weekend, David?
Thank you for asking, Tom.
You must have done something.
On Saturday was at Twickers for England Australia, which was actually fantastic. It was an amazing game.
I have not watched any rugby all weekend apart from
sevens.
How professional of you? You are going to have to fill me in. I do know England won.
I'll fill you in a minute. So England, 15 minutes in. England were getting absolutely pumped, torn apart. Australia had scored one try, but they had got over the line four times.
I saw the highlights.
They got absolutely torn apart. They weren't at the races. In fairness, they didn't have the ball. And I was sitting with... So I was in Will Carling's corporate suite, and So we did a lot of talks and Q&A stuff, and it was actually ruddy good value, old boy. And so I was sitting with during the game. So what happens is you do these corporate things. Anyway, firstly, the game. England were dead and buried after 15, but not dead and buried, but, you know, they were just getting pumped. But they came back and put 37 points on Australia. They were fantastic. Like, they were just brilliant. Nathan Hughes took a while to get into the game, but was just mega.
Yeah.
Farrell and Ford are just dreamy. And there's now talk in the rugby paper. I don't know if it was Neil Fissler or not, but Neil Fissler actually doesn't get much wrong when it comes to rugby rumours, I must say. He seems to know the right people. And he is saying George Ford to Wasps.
Really?
And Danny Cipriani to Toulon. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a strange one.
Yeah, although I did hear on the same day, done deal to sale. He's already signed it. Well, the people always say these things. Who knows? Who knows? I bet it's not a done deal anywhere yet. So
Ben Youngs, I saw some of the highlights, right? And I read a lot of the reports.
Yeah.
Ben Youngs apparently was, again, magical.
He was very, very good. And really, really the best things about...
Jonathan Joseph as well.
Joseph was the best player, I think,
really?
For England. Just because...
Scored a brace, didn't he?
He scored a brace.
Two tries.
Well done.
Yeah.
And set one up. So he, with a lovely little kick through for Marlon Yard. But by the way, Marlon Yard's try definitely wasn't a try. It was a knock-on. It was a clear knock-on.
Knock-on with the left hand and then he touched down with the right hand.
Absolutely not a try. It made no difference. But it's just...
I mean, I know that and I was in Dubai.
Match fixing, yeah. That's a joke. That's a joke. So it's... Jonathan Joseph just defensively is just immaculate. Absolutely immaculate. And he just makes so few errors.
Why does he pull his socks up?
I think he...
Marlon Yard doesn't pull his socks up.
No point,
is it cool?
There's no that, point in shaving and moisturising your calves if you don't show them off, mate.
Okay, that's the reason, is it?
Must be. They do look good, those boys.
Cream and tan and stuff.
They do look good. Corporate.
Yeah, corporate. Back to that.
The game was great. Anyway.
So you're in Will Carlin's
what
suite
you do is
with your cravat
you go,
on.
You go up.
Your blazer.
And your mustard chinos.
Yeah.
And you go, what happens is you...
Heaven shoes.
There's about 400 or 500 people in Will's suite, right, that bought tables and whatever.
Is that all?
And he does, pre-match, everyone has a bit of lunch, and he does what he calls a legends Q&A.
Yeah.
So I always say to him when I go into Will's place, Will, I don't mind doing a Q&A, but can you not call me a legend, please? Because I'm the only person on that stage with less than... At the weekend, I think I was the only person on the stage with less than 60 caps.
Wow.
And I've got 8, so I'm miles behind. But I will take the piss out of all the famous people, so Will keeps asking me to come back. So he says, we've got some legends in the room. Welcome all the legends up, and flats. And, you know, so that works quite nicely for me.
Yeah, you're the foil.
I'm the foil, but that's fine. But then...
Yeah, if that's my role, I'll take it.
You tell a few stories, and I'll tell you who was on the stage. Matt Gitto, David Campese.
Gitz Campo.
Shawzy, Shaw Spray Shod, Simon Shaw.
Yeah.
Cozza, Martin Corey, doing nicknames now.
Oz.
Squeaky, Rob Andrew.
Yeah.
Moro, Brian Moore, who was hilarious.
Was he?
Absolutely hilarious. Yeah. Inappropriate, but appropriate, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, he's good.
He's about the best at that gig, I reckon.
Okay.
Will Carling, of course, and Matt Dawson. And me, so some proper legends and me.
Yeah.
But you have a bit of a laugh on stage and you go off to another couple of corporate suites and talk to some people and whatever. But when you get to the game, often these suites give you tickets. We said this before, but no one ever uses the ticket.
You want to try and get in the box if you can.
I don't even like going in boxes that
much. You just leave, don't you?
I just go home.
Listen to it on Radio 5 Live.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Yeah.
I do like 5 Live, actually. But I like to sit in the corporate suite because everyone clears out and they set up a table for all the lads.
Yeah.
And you have a nice fillet of beef, some cheese and biscuits, nice coffee and a couple of pints.
It's what we do when we do hospitality there. You know, we do it at the Marriott Hotel, hospitality in Cardiff, and 70% of people go to the game, 30% just stay there, the same. Pull a screen down, watch it.
Yeah, so we watch it and got surround sound, it's warm, it's quiet.
Surround sound?
Yeah, God, yeah. I made that bit up. Yeah. Got big speakers.
Dolby.
So we all sit and watch it. So in between me and Will Carling was David Campese, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
And John Inverdale was there as well, actually. And
was he watching it through his rose? Tinted glasses.
I tell you now, he is one of the great men. Yeah. He might have made a few boo-boos on telly, but he is one of the great men. He's an absolutely brilliant company, top guy.
Mm.
So David Campese was there as Wales got slaughtered, and Matt Gitto was properly grumpy about it, actually. But he's really good company.
Yes.
Very blunt, very straight. you know, straight talker, but really good company. And Simon Shaw's just 9 feet tall, and
he's massive, isn't he?
Just, yeah, but he's just like the suavest. He's the only 6'10" or 6'9" battered, cauliflower-eared, flat-nosed bloke in the world who is really, really, really slick and suave.
And for some, he just walks like Ace Ventura as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
In a way, he just walks with his neck.
He's got a rhythm to it, but he's got like size 15 feet, but they still manage to look cool in a pair of loafers.
I thought you were going to say he's got size 15 feet and a tiny...
No, and his hands, it's so funny, you get people doing selfies and stuff, and they kept getting people to come up. I was getting them to say, "Oi, come over in a minute when I'm talking to one of the legends," and get them to take the picture. This guy walks over, he's like, Shawsy, I love what you play for the Lions. Oh, cheers, mate. Yeah, cheers, mate. He's like, "Yeah, can you take a picture of me in flats, please?" And they were like, yeah, trying to act all humble. Oh, yeah. And he picks up an iPhone 7.
Yeah.
And his hands are so big, he can barely hold this little thing and press the button. And he keeps cocking it up because he's just a giant human being.
Well, his phone is an iPad, isn't it?
Yeah, he's absolutely enormous, man.
iPad as a phone.
So it was good. So it was good value, actually. And on Sunday, I got the red eye flight from Heathrow up to Newcastle.
Yeah.
To watch Newcastle score 6 tries against Harlequins.
They won, didn't they?
They were really, really good. This was not all about Quins not quite doing it.
No.
It's the first time Quins have scored a point on the road this season.
But Quins are obviously missing more players than Newcastle.
Do you know what?
No, I don't actually.
You don't. They're actually not.
They weren't.
They're missing some big players, but you could argue better players. They're internationals, current internationals. But Newcastle's list of injuries is also horrendous. So, you know, they're missing loads of guys. So, actually, Newcastle had a load of people out, and they were fantastic. I mean, they carved Harlequin's defence up a little bit.
Really?
So 6-4, I think, in the end. Brilliant game, absolutely brilliant. So you truck up there to commentate on the Newcastle game, and just being completely honest, I am very happy that Newcastle did well, but if I had a choice of where to go when I'm a bit tired on a Sunday morning, it probably wouldn't be the Heathrow car park and then flying to Newcastle and getting home at 11 o'clock on a Sunday night. I'd probably go to the Rec because it's a few minutes from my house. But it was actually a really, really good game to watch. And they had curry in the press room, which is better than normal. Normally the food up there, I say this respectfully, is absolutely awful.
Yeah.
The food was, as long as you covered it in salt, was all right.
I actually had some nice food on the plane.
What?
Yeah, can't believe it.
No.
Well, you get it in first class, don't you?
Oh.
I was in economy, obviously. Yeah, it was right, actually. Beef curry.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was Qantas, so it was pretty decent food.
Oh, that's all right.
Saw a couple of real good films.
What did you watch?
War Dogs. Have you ever seen that?
No, I've heard of it.
Oh,
is it about
really
war?
Really good. It's got. It's about two young 20-year-olds who end
or,
up.
Yeah, or old 20. They're just two 20-year-olds, isn't it?
Who end up doing 20-something-year-olds who end up doing one of the biggest arms deals with the U.S. government ever.
Yeah.
It's to do with like getting 100 million rounds of AK-47 ammunition and stuff like that. It's really funny. It's got Jonas. He's a guy from Superbad.
Oh,
you know, the big guy.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, he's good in it. He doesn't play a real nice guy, but he's good in it.
He's brilliant.
It's funny. It's really good.
He's the Jewish guy with really curly hair, isn't he?
Yes,
that's the very
one.
Funny man.
Yeah, that was good. Real good film. Watch Suicide Squad.
What's that now?
It's like a Marvel comics sort of thing, and
mate, you're 36.
Oh, mate, well, you're not gonna. I've seen most films. Margot Robbie was in there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, in Hot Pants.
Robert. We don't want to sink this pod to that level, but she is so fit.
Google her on Mr. Skin.
I'd cut my eyes out.
Yeah, she was in it, so it was worth watching. And also, I don't know if you've seen it, real quirky film called, and I'd seen it before, but I watched it again, The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, I love it.
How good is that film?
I love it. It's Bill Murray's in it, isn't he?
Yeah, and Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah, it's a beautiful film, like not like going to make you cry. Just everything
Edward
looks
Norton's
the
in
way
it
it's styled,
well.
The way it's styled is just amazing.
Yeah,
I watched it in this. There's this little old original theatre in Bath. You might have been to it before because you know mum lives or whatever. Don't know, but it's this little place with. It's a proper old school cinema theatre.
Yeah, no, I know where it is.
And
they've got like, is it Schwarzburger across the road?
Yes. Wouldn't know.
Knowledge.
Wouldn't know. They had a burger named after me once. Apparently. So I used to go in there a bit.
But Fat Man.
Yeah, how dare you? It was super lean mince. So the I watched it in there, and it was just like, it came out, and I was with five people. Yeah. So six of us. Three of us came out saying that is one of the most incredible things I've watched. I just loved every minute of it. The other three came out saying that was so boring, like absolute really? Waste of a night. Yeah, funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you ever see complete off that subject or similar subject? Did you ever see Lost in Translation with Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson?
No. Is it good? Right.
It's one of my favourite films of all time. I absolutely love it. And very, very roughly, it's about Bill Murray's a businessman. He's away from home in, I've forgotten what country, 6 years ago. And he meets Scarlett Johansson and they strike up a kind of a friendship and while he's... Anyway, but it's just a brilliant, brilliant movie. And you wonder if they're going to get married or run away together and it ends and you realise that stuff doesn't matter. It was just the brilliance of the movie, whatever. And I walked out of it, well, I watched it when I was playing at Bath and a load of us went to watch it. I walked out with a couple of lads and we were just like, God, that was just brilliant. I just loved that movie. And remember Robbie Fleck saying it's one of the best things I've ever seen. And, you know, Butch James was like, oh, I can't believe it. I want to go and watch it again tomorrow. I loved it. Michael Lippmann, the Australian flanker, would go, mate, that was shit. He didn't even shag her. Nice one. He didn't even do her, Mac. You're like, right, okay, that wasn't the point. You've missed that completely, you absolute moron.
I tell you what I bought in the airport. Was the book that Brian Driscoll...
I Am Pilgrim. Okay.
So my plan was to read it out in Dubai, the bit of spare time we had.
But you're off your nut.
The 20 minutes of spare time we had between waking up and getting on the bus. But I've got that to read. But it looks good.
I've actually ordered that from Amazon as well. You can buy books elsewhere. They're just not as easy to get because you get it off your iPhone.
Yeah.
So I've got that coming.
You did it on the toilet, didn't you? Tell me that.
Yeah.
That's where you do a lot of shopping. That's where you write your articles.
Which is useful. Often it's two birds with one stone, isn't it?
Well, you know,
or three birds with one
where
stone.
Where else do you get somewhere quiet for 45 minutes?
Yeah. Saying that, we thought this was going to be noisier in here because I've got two dogs and I've got wooden floors, Scandinavian larch, actually. And
we've even bored them.
But I've got them this new super luxurious bed. It was like £4 from the pound shop or something. There wouldn't be a quid from there, wouldn't it? It was like some budget
thing.
They
are, mate. It says pound shop, but...
Mugging us off, are they?
Inflation.
Mugging us off.
Yeah.
That's Brexit, isn't it? So got in this, but their dogs don't move out of this bed. They love it. So haven't even got to put the fire on to keep them there. So far, they're not walking around with their claws on the wooden floor. Anyway, England were very, very good at rugby. How were England at sevens, briefly? Because you talked about Fiji and South Africa in the final. Dan Norton was very good.
Yeah, they were okay. I can't actually quite remember where they finished. I mean, I tried to watch as much sevens as I could.
You weren't there to watch sevens, were you?
When you're singing Don't Take Me Home for an hour, it's quite hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
And what was good, though, is where we were sat in the main stand, but we had a few people looking after us. So they would go get our beers for us, keep them cool. We'd have sandwiches. At one stage, we were sat there drinking beer, eating bacon sausage rolls, and we're in Dubai. We're like that. Well,
typical Brits on tour, mate. That is.
Yeah, this isn't right. You shouldn't be eating bacon and pork.
Yeah,
or pork in general.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In a Muslim country, drinking beer, but we were.
Yeah, legally.
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, we weren't hiding it under our t-shirts or anything like that.
No, okay. Now, an incident we have to talk about is the George North incident.
Yes.
So I know you've been at the bottom of a bottle for a few days or a big pint glass, but have you seen the incident?
Yes, I have seen it.
So this is the thing, right?
I saw you having a bit of a spat on... A conversation.
Conversation on Twitter. So what happened... I mean, you will all know about it at home, but George North, it's a complete accident by Adam Thompson. Horrible bounce. He stays on the floor. George North takes off.
Yes.
Gets tipped over Adam Thompson, lands on his sort of shoulder, head. I think his head actually made a divot in the floor.
Yeah.
So a very nasty looking injury. George North looks like he's completely out cold.
Yeah, George North does not move when he hits the floor.
Yeah, absolutely limp, gone, yes. Right? So it is absolutely understandable, 100%, that commentators, viewers at home, fans in the stand, anyone, players on the field would look at that and think he is unconscious again.
Everyone would look at that.
Everyone.
The same.
Everyone. Now, a few minutes later, he's playing again, right?
Yes.
Now, he then says after the game, there's all this chat saying, completely understandable chat again, saying, why is he playing on? He was knocked out. Why is he playing on? Then you've got, after the game, you've got George North realises there's a bit of a storm kicking off and he sends a couple of tweets out. Now look, it's Tuesday morning here, as we said, so this might change by the end of the week, whatever. Northampton issue a statement saying he wasn't knocked out, he was fine. And then he issues, sends out a couple of tweets saying, I wasn't knocked out, I was fine, thanks to the medical staff. Then what you've got is people in prominent positions, again, understandably saying, this is a disgrace, he shouldn't be on the field. Then you've got Jack Berger, who's
with his history as well.
Yeah, horrible history, yeah. Then you've got Jack Berger, who Premiership legend, full stop, and and sort of mega human being, one of your favourite people, even if you only met him for about 3 minutes, saying the medical staff, I'll paraphrase here, whoever allowed him back on the field should be sacked.
Okay.
Right? So you're now saying people's career should be over, right? This is where we're going. My when I was saying having spats, I kind of got a bit of grief for it, actually. One guy saying, you're wrong on this, you're wrong, you're complacent. And someone had a go at Jiffy, at Jonathan Davis as well, for Scrum 5. I haven't seen that. I don't know what he said. But my point was, it's easy to say that players are treated like pieces of meat by coaches and by rugby clubs. Because do you know what? They are, quite often. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
You break, they get another bit of meat in that can play, right? That's business, is the way it goes. But you're talking about the doctors. These doctors, in my experience, are, apart from anything else, they could probably earn a lot more elsewhere, but they love it. They love being involved and all that. But also, this is not just, am I going to lose my job at Saints? This is, if I put somebody with potential concussion or, let's call it, brain damage back on the field in a mid-season game that, let's face it, doesn't really matter, someone of such high profile, this person could get struck off. I mean, this is serious. So I'm thinking, well, what everyone's done is they've all decided, from having seen it on the telly, that the doctors are lying or they're massively mistaken, and George North is lying or he's massively mistaken or something. So they just don't believe any of it. And my point isn't that these objectors are wrong. That's not my point. My point is, you don't know. So all these journalists and clever people, they have declared him unconscious. They don't know. I think there is a chance that he was lying terrified about his neck, purely because Scott Murray landed on my head once and I did the same, and everyone thought I was knocked out for 30 seconds, 20 seconds. I wasn't. I was just terrified.
Neck injuries are terrible, aren't they?
You lie there.
They can lead to some real dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, I was lying there, hands, arms, legs, limp, thinking, I've broken my neck. I'm out. I'm done. And I actually thought I was paralysed. I remember thinking, I was thinking about myself in a wheelchair, genuinely, in that split second. And 20 seconds later, I open my eyes and they come over and say, can you hear me? And I can say, yeah, I can hear you. I just don't know if I can move anything. And it turns out I can. 5 minutes later, I'm playing. Right, I'm fine. So I've been where he says he was. I also think there is a chance, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's not the case. I think there's a chance he was play-acting to get Adam Thompson red-carded. And I think there are a lot of people at the ground, mainly from in Leicester shirts, not the players, but whoever, you know, who agree with that. Now, I think he doesn't want to admit that if it's true or it's not true. My point isn't he was not knocked out, you're all wrong and you're gits for saying so. That's not my point. My point is you don't know. So there's an investigation going on. Let's find out. I would be staggered and actually gutted and terrified if he was knocked out cold and they put him straight back out there. I just think there is a chance that didn't happen. See, so like, keep an open mind.
Yeah, I know him pretty well. And he's had a lot of injuries, a lot of concussions. And so much so that it's affected his speech at home. You know, his girlfriend, Becky James, has said that, you know,
really?
Slurring his words and stuff like that. So he's aware of the seriousness of his concussion. So I don't think there's any way he would want to put himself back on that field with his history of concussions. They've got to go through protocols, haven't they?
Yeah.
So the doctor's in charge of that, you know, to make sure he's clear, to make sure he can go back on the field. If he agrees it, he agrees it. You know, that's where the decision lies. It doesn't lie with anyone else. It lies with the doctor. So he's in charge of George's safety. He's got a duty of care to George or the player who's knocked out. So if he's deemed fit to go back on,
go and play.
He goes back on. And I do agree with there might be a certain amount of play. Possibly, you know, everyone does it. You know, if you get a high tackle, it doesn't really hurt. Sometimes you stay down a little bit longer just to make it look worse than it is. Much like footballers go down, you know, very aggressively when they're touched around the laces or the toe.
Yeah, and what the only thing that annoyed me about the whole thing is not that people have opinions and stick to them or they feel they know more than they actually know, because we all do that sometimes. You know, I do it as well. It was that actually, as soon as I said, do you know what, all of you that are saying you know the facts, and even someone like Jack Berger, whom I respect entirely,
yeah,
he's calling from, presumably from his farm in Namibia, for a doctor who was pitch side with George North to be sacked. So I was like, you can't do that because you don't know.
The doctor comes on the field straight away. He's lying there. You can see the doctor goes straight down to his head.
Yeah.
You know, George could have easily said, I'm fine. I just land on my neck awkwardly. There's nothing wrong. And the doctor said, well, don't move. We're going to check your neck out. As soon as they cleared his neck.
Eyes were shut. He looked knocked out, 100%. But I've been in that situation and looked just like that, although just a bit fatter, looked exactly like that. Someone took a picture of it once, and I remember years ago, it was at Watford, seeing that picture.
Yeah.
And my mum was on the sideline, and she was like, how could they let you play on when you were knocked out? I said, I wasn't knocked out. I just looked knocked out. So I just think you don't know. So I love Twitter, as you know, but it does often slip into this kind of left-wing mob that present opinion as fact, and it's not fact, it's opinion, and that's fine.
Just there's some sort of independent investigation going on anyway, so we will find out.
And he may well have been knocked out, and that's not a case of everyone can say, well, you were wrong. I'm not saying he wasn't. But what did annoy me anyway, my point was, what did annoy me is that then you got people saying you're complacent and you're complacent about concussion because it's not your head. That's the one point where someone said that to me, or you don't, you know, you're playing, whatever it was. You're complacent about it. I actually thought, I won't say the word, but I thought, up yours.
Yeah.
I thought, actually, how many times have you been knocked out, mate, in front of your parents on national telly? I've been there. I've been in a horrible place, and I've put my head in some horrible places. You might have too, but don't tell me I'm complacent.
My
brain's been there too.
I'm now going to light this scented candle in front of you. Just breathe it in.
I'm okay.
Breathe it in.
I'm okay.
There's a lovely scented candle here. It's in some sort of...
like a copper.
Well, it looks like something out of Star Wars. I don't know. Maybe we'll take a picture of it when we do our photo.
I've got it's funny. I've got a domestic issue that we spoke about on the way in. So Shanks walked in my
kitchen door.
Yeah. So he walked in and there's a load of Adidas boxes and stuff on the floor, and he said, "Oh, free stash." And I said, "No, I don't get free stash, but." And I've certainly got no links to Adidas, but it's my wife has got an issue with spending money.
She's got size 11 feet.
Size 11 feet, yeah. She hasn't. But it's to the point now, this is not a joke.
48-inch chest.
This has got nothing to do with Rugger, I can tell you that. But I am, I've been speaking to my dad about it, who's a psychologist. And he's like, mate, every time we come, there are deliveries arriving at the door all day.
Yeah.
And it would be all right if we had loads and loads of money. But I wasn't a footballer, I was a rugby player, so we haven't. And it's getting to the point now where I've suggested she actually go and speak to someone about her compulsion to spend money, and she told me to fuck off. So there you go.
Can't take it with you.
Can't take it with you, mind.
Talk to me about something about Rob Howley. Some news about Rob Howley.
Well, this...
Because I have not checked my phone, really, the whole week. I have just been out of it. I gave 100% to
your clients, party. Your clients, yeah. Your mates on the piss. So the Rob Howley thing is... evidently, Gregor Townsend has said no to being Lions backs coach, attack coach.
You can see why he's starting a new job once he gets calls into Scotland.
If he goes, it's something along. Yeah, I think that's it. So he misses a tour or something like that. I don't know the details, I've forgotten. But Gregor Townsend has said no. So they're now talking about they're talking about Steve Borthwick as, this is all rumour, but Steve Borthwick as forwards coach, or a forwards coach. I mean, just a brilliant idea. He's just brilliant. I would say that. I'm completely biased. Don't pretend I'm not. They're talking about Andy Farrell as defence coach. Two things on that. Firstly, you cannot argue with what he has done at Ireland so quickly.
Yes, okay.
Brilliant defence.
Yeah.
Also, throughout the whole time when things were going wrong with England and people were blaming Andy Farrell, I'm sure that there were things he did wrong and maybe his voice was too loud or something. I had the inside ear of a load of players that I would see in the street in Bath and at all these different games, and if they told me something horrible off the record, I would never repeat it. Of course, I never heard one player say a negative thing about Andy Farrell. Never once in private say a negative thing.
Okay.
They all loved him. I've been on tour with him myself. He was a coach. He was really, really good and really good sort of human being. So I think that's a good choice. But they're now talking about Rob Howley as as attack coach, and you've got to be kidding me.
See, the unions decide who can go and who can't go. It's not down to the coach.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, you know, because the coaches are contracted to the union. So there's no way with Warren Gatlin going, I can see Rob Howley being allowed to leave Wales.
You don't reckon?
No, because, I mean, as a coach, of course you'd want to coach your Lions, wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to?
Yeah.
You know, as a player, it's the pinnacle of your career. As a coach, it's the same.
It wasn't the pinnacle of my career, but anyway. No.
Well, you dreamed about it.
Yeah.
And that was enough.
Watched on telly.
Yeah. Bought the shirt.
Yeah.
So, you know, if the union allow Rob Howley to go, and he goes, brilliant, great for him.
Yeah.
You know, that's amazing for him, but it's the union's decision. So, you know, I don't think the union should have allowed Gatland to go. I think at the time he was the best coach, but with Wales where they were, I don't think they would have allowed him to go. The union did, and of course he's going to take it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you take a tour to a head coach of the Lions on the back of a successful one 4 years ago?
Yeah, I think Joe Schmidt isn't going either, something like that. But, I mean, I'll tell you what they should do. Gatland's doing this one. There is only one person that should be doing the next Lions tour, wherever it's going. There's only one person going to South Africa, isn't it? I think. You know who I'm going to say. Who should be the next Lions head coach or director of rugby, whatever they call it now? Head coach.
I don't know if you're going comedy or serious.
I'm going serious. This is serious. Think about instant impact, bringing people together, producing wins straight away at the top level.
Jurgen Klopp.
Exactly it. Sam Allardyce.
No.
Steve Bruce. Tony Pulis. Eddie Jones.
All right. Sorry, we were playing the obvious game, were we?
Obvious game?
Well, that was the obvious one. I thought you were going to come out with something funny or something witty, but yeah, no, I agree.
I'm still upset after the George North thing. I can't do funny.
I agree.
Got to be Eddie Jones.
Yeah.
They'll never do it, but it's got to be Eddie Jones.
Yeah.
He's the man.
Well, he said the reason why he didn't want to take the coaching role or become a coach is because his job is to win the World Cup with England.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all he sees it as.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I do.
It is off to South Africa.
I did want to see England under some. I wanted England to win. I'm English, but I wanted to see England under some proper pressure against Australia, and to see how they reacted, because they've been under pressure, but they could. But
small parts of the game, haven't they? Not for constant.
Yeah.
And you thought you'd get that with Argentina when they were down to 40 men for 75 minutes. Nothing, not at all.
Not a bit of it.
And that's why we cannot wait until the All Blacks.
Do you know what though, Tommy boy? I reckon. So if England win the Grand Slam in the Six Nations, they will equal, or they will beat the world. That will be the world record, or something like that. They'll equal the world record for consecutive wins.
Really?
Right? Yeah. Okay. However, they will equal it having not played New Zealand in any of those games.
Yeah.
The best team in the world. So I think that does dampen it a bit. Anyway.
Very well planned. Well done.
Yeah, but I think Ireland against England. If Ireland continue to play like they do, and so do England. Ireland, England in Dublin, the last weekend of the Six Nations, that could be a Grand Slam decider, but that could be one hell of a game, and Ireland could win that.
I reckon this year we need to look out for the Scots as well. I think this is going to
be
this is going to be their year, where it's been building for a while, and like any coach when he comes into a new team, it takes a little bit of time to install his footprint and his game style. And I think we'll see the best of the Scots this year. I hope we do, because they've certainly got some quality players. There's no better 15 at the moment, Northern Hemisphere, than Hogg.
No. And here's a thing for you. Here's a thing.
Yeah.
If Scotland could beat anybody, they could be a top side, only if they've got Ali Dickinson and WP Nell fit at prop, because their backups are not as good as those two. There you go. And they'll be on the back foot the whole time.
Okay.
So they don't need that. So there's another thing I want to talk to you about as well.
Yeah.
There's another thing I want
That's why I'm here, mate.
I want to talk to you about.
You get off your chest.
Pat Lamb has been signed up for next season at Bristol, DOR.
I saw that.
Mm.
I saw that.
Best tweet of the day, best tweet of the week so far was Unreal Gavin Henson.
Yes.
Which is one of the best parody accounts on Twitter. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
And he said,
it's not me. It's not me.
And he said, Pat Lamb.
Yeah, Dalai Lama.
Dalai
Lama.
He said, a lamb to the slaughter. He said, I made the lamb to the slaughter joke. He laughed. Then he asked me what Rotherham and Bedford were like. That was good, because it does look like. I mean, what Pat Lamb seems like, it's a great appointment, but I am not convinced they shouldn't have done more to sort out this season first. It's weird, because I'm sure it isn't in their minds, but to me on the outside, it looks, signing him for next season looks like and not doing anything about the coaching staff really this season, or the team this season really. Dan Toohey arrives today, actually being Tuesday, a very good player from Ulster, very, very good player. It's a good signing, but not doing anything now. It feels like Pat Lamb's going to arrive in the Championship. That's what it feels like.
There's nothing you can do now because everyone's in contract, really, aren't they?
Mate, spend the money. Like, Bath have signed Ben Tapuai, you know, from...
When does he come?
He's here, okay. And he's playing well for Bath.
Yeah, but sure, possibly that would have been agreed, not just a week ago. You know, this has all come about pretty suddenly.
I just think, like, Dan Toohey's left Ulster. You know, if you...
I do agree with you in the fact that if money isn't an option,
yeah,
you know, I'd get myself fit and go there. Do you see Nicky Robinson sign for Cardiff Blues?
Yeah.
I know.
He's back.
Mate, and if Andy Goo can do it, anyone can do it. Apparently, he's been struggling a little bit with the fitness.
He has.
And he's done 4 months of doing absolutely nothing. So he's retired, feet up, drinking. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Chianti.
I mean, you know, I see Nicky Robinson a bit, and he could drink like you drank in Dubai for every day for the next 10 years and still not look like Andy Goode.
Yeah, true.
Okay, but Andy Goode has got two things. He's got an unbelievable right boot.
Yeah,
and a mind that has such self-confidence that right boot just doesn't fail.
Yeah.
So you can't coach that into a player.
And yeah, and as a 10, you know, Nicky doesn't have to be that fit and fast. He just has to play in the right areas, make the right decisions, get his back line going. So he's there short term.
Yeah. Right, questions, Tom. Question on email from Tumble and Fox.
Okay.
Who is the best loose head and tight head in the world? P.S. Get Mearsy, Lee Mears, on the show. Where is he? Do you know what?
What's Mearsy's chat like?
Good.
All right, good.
Little Mearsy, the problem here, I don't know where he is. I will check the glove box in my car, see if he's in there.
Yeah.
Haven't seen him for a while. Thing is with Mearsy, he can pop up anywhere because he literally fits in your pocket. We will get Mearsy on at some point. Who is best loose head and tight head in the world? Ooh, okay. Mako Vunipola, very, very close. His ball playing, in terms of ball play, he is the best loose head in the world by 800 miles. He's defensively very, very close to Gethin Jenkins, who is the best defensive loose head in the world. So all round, Mako is very close. Jack McGrath from Ireland, very, very close. He's just getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
The Beast Mutawira is a very good prop, very good,
yeah,
and very, very consistent. He's up there. So, I mean, do you actually want an answer? Do you actually want an answer? If I had to pick a World 15, I would probably pick Jack McGrath from the World 15 at the moment.
Okay.
And tight head, Census Johnston. There you go.
Okay.
Because he's 950 kilos and he can move and he's consistent and he doesn't get injured and he's skillful and he's got nice technique and he's.
I got one here from Marcus John on Twitter. It says, Shanks, your miles better than flats, you're the best. Question for you. Have you ever played Freckles? I've not even heard of Freckles. He's put hashtag Russian Poulette.
Russian Poulette?
Yeah.
Freckles sounds like some sort of pebble dashing experiment, doesn't it?
Sounds like some sort of gangster from the mafia, doesn't he?
Mm.
Back in the day. Freckles will get you.
Yeah. Like Freddy Two Freckles.
Here's one from...
So we don't know what that question means, mate.
No. If you could let us know, Marcus John, what is Freckles?
Yeah, or don't. It's up to you.
Bill Mostyn wants to know, it's another one from Twitter. Love the podcast. Why has Thomas Waldron never got a look in for England? Is it because he looks like he doesn't play sport?
In fairness, he does look like...
he gives everyone hope, I believe.
A big-boned shopkeeper.
Yeah.
It's a funny one, isn't it? He's so consistent. Do you know what? The honest answer is, I don't quite know. When you look at the number eight that Eddie Jones has used, Billy and Nathan Hughes, they are just massive bruisers. And they probably don't do as much carrying as Waldron. They don't score as many tries. They're probably not as all-round... in terms of ability, as well-rounded, but I think they punch such big holes. I think that's what Eddie likes.
Yeah, I've got another good question here now. This is from David Cotterill-Jones, again on Twitter. What do you boys think about the bonus point system going into the next Six Nations? Sexy podcast, by the way. Must be our voice.
You.
Oh, much money.
Must be the fact that we do it nude every week. Well...
Can we go through...
I say it can't hurt, but what I would say to you is... I don't think it's going to make a huge difference.
I was just about to say, can we go through Sean Connery impressions?
I don't know if I've got any. Have you got some?
gentlemen, welcome to The Rock.
That's good.
Yeah.
Let's leave it there.
I got another one.
Don't.
All right. Wait, wait, I've not blessed this marriage. Marion, you look radiant.
So
you where's that from? Where's that from?
I don't know.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, mate, comes in at the end. I think, personally, the bonus point system's good. Because I
reckon,
right, because always, on the last weekend, the Super Saturday, I reckon we see the best rugby. Because teams have to score a certain amount of points, because a lot of the teams are level, because the Six Nations are getting a lot closer. Therefore, I think we see better rugby. Now, if you're out in a game and you're trying to score more tries, and you obviously get an extra point for scoring more tries,
yeah.
I think we're going to see better rugby. Honestly, I know I judge this on Wales a lot, but Wales' best performances are in the Super Saturdays when they've got to score a certain amount of tries. I think it changes the mindset about rugby. I think we become more positive, more proactive. We want to play the ball more. We don't want to slow games down. I think it's good. I think it's going to be in for a while, hopefully.
Here's something I should have worked out beforehand as a rugby pundit, but haven't. Been really busy, yeah? Can you win the Grand Slam without winning the Six Nations?
Yeah, I think you can, but there should be some sort of clause to say that if you win all games...
Yeah, a bonus, 10-point bonus.
Yeah.
Million point bonus.
Yeah, million point bonus. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I don't want to disagree with you too entirely, but I think it's a stupid idea, a rubbish idea. Right, here's a question from Marcus Aurelius. That's not his real name, is it? His real name, I think, is Mark Franklin, going by his email. His email address is... No. Firstly, I'd like to say how... Yeah, okay, that's very complimentary. Thank you very much. I'd really like to know whether you ever came up against an opposition player who was so intimidating you actually felt a little bit scared of them.
Yes, that from
that's Daisy the cat. Get out of it.
It wasn't actually on me, but it was a massive hit. I might have talked about this before on the podcast. On Colin Chavis back in 2003 or 2002.
Sorry, as a cat, Daisy, can you kindly shut up, please? Shut it,
Daisy. If you want to join the main act, you have to come to rehearsals.
Oh, the thing is, I would get her on my knee, but I'm allergic to cats. I've had cats. They came with the wife 13 years ago,
is that how old it is? 13?
She's 14.
All right.
Look at the state of her.
Looks it.
Daze, no. One, will you? Right, hang on. Look, Shanks, you keep talking, okay. And I'm gonna put the cat in the microwave. Oh, just a joke, just out the door. I can still hear you. I'm talking across my kitchen. Daisy, come on, darling.
So, Flats. Come on. I'm gonna talk about the most intimidating hit I've had. Wow, that was a big one.
I was putting it outside.
You can't grab it by a tail, mate. Which was, I think it was 2002 or 2003, and Wales were playing New Zealand in Hamilton, and Jerry Collins was playing back row or number 8, I think it was, and absolutely mullered Colin Chavis. So much he hit him backwards. Knocked him straight out on the floor, gum shield out the mouth, and Tana Umaga came over straight away to check he was all right. And I remember walking back, looking at the big screen, thinking, wow.
I can still hear you.
That is an incredible hit.
I can still hear you.
Now, Dave, what are you actually doing now? The dogs are fine until you went in there then.
I know, but the dogs got up because I picked up the cat and they got jealous. So now the dogs are walking out from the sitting room, but there's wooden floors, going to make noise. Hang on a sec.
Get back in your beds. Go on.
Savages. I remember that hit. I remember Jerry Collins. I call him JC because he went out of the booze one night. The late Jerry Collins. I remember him hitting Colin Chavis, and it was absolutely sickening.
I was on the field, and I was thinking, oh, jeez. That was massive.
Super duper.
Don't hit me.
I must say, the only time I've ever been really intimidated... it's when you play against
that big hit you did on me
when I smashed you
at
Wrexham.
Yeah.
I scared myself then with that explosive power. Ever intimidated the any guys you really genuinely like scared in a rugby sense?
Chabal?
Nah, not Chabal. No,
he's a wimp.
Not having that. No. Yeah. Chabal was mega powerful, but he was high impact, mega low work rate.
Yeah.
And every time we played against him, we just ganged up on him. And One man would struggle to take him out, but two or three, we just mob tackled him, and we always took him out pretty well. But it was a really talented, nimble guys that scared me. But in terms of pure intimidation and scariness, it was really the guys who played like they absolutely didn't care about getting punished for anything.
Yeah.
They had nothing to lose, and they were just crazy. And so that's dishwasher. Real life, guys. So in terms of being scared, Darren Garforth, Tiger's prop, was a savage human being, and really, unfortunately, a really, really good bloke off the field.
Yeah.
Frank Tournier, as we've spoken about. I'm just trying to... I'll tell you who I played against a couple of times. A guy called Serge Simon, who was a doctor, I think, a French doctor that played loosehead for Gloucester. And I was a loosehead, so we weren't against each other. But a couple of times I had to swap to tighthead because I said I would to get a contract, and then unfortunately had to do it a couple of times. They called my bluff. And he was a bona fide nut job, like an absolute nut job. So they had a big scrum against us, and they put a lot of pressure on, and I didn't go backwards, but popped up because he put pressure on me, and my head was going to break off. And I thought, well, I'm in front of our bench here, and the whole bench is there, so you can't let someone do a job on you like that without doing something. And I just tried to put an elbow. I just elbowed him in the face, like a little UFC kind of Thai boxing, with a fat elbow, so it doesn't hurt, because my elbows aren't very sharp, they're just like water balloons. So I elbowed him, but got quite a good shot, and I think I cut his eye. And he just absolutely opened up, and we were sort of pretending to fight, but your arms are bound in and stuff. And at one point, I just heard this pant. It was honestly like a dog. It was like a wolf, right? And he's like panting, and his own Olivier Azam, who was himself an incredibly physical, confrontational player, like loved a scrap, very, very hard guy. He was pulling him back, saying, "No, Simon, no, Serge, no, Serge, not Simon, Serge, no, Serge, no, no, no," and shouting stuff in French, because Serge Simon, as far as I could tell, was planning to eat me. He was actually planning to eat me. No gum shield, teeth bared, and they had him round the back of his collar choking him. He was choking himself with veins coming out everywhere, and he was trying to, as far as I could tell, bite my face. He was an absolute psycho, to the point where this kick, and they watched him, and the referees had a chat, and they came over and said, one of you's going to have to go off. We can't have, someone's going to have to go. And they swapped me back to loosehead then, so that Serge couldn't get anywhere near me. And I was a macho. I was only 21. I was saying, I don't need to swap over. I'll take him on. And the boys were like, don't, mate. Don't. You'll lose that.
I remember I was really young at Saracens, Inga Twigamala.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pointing at me, growling, like that.
Growled at you?
Yeah, and he was like ahead of his time, wasn't he? You know, in terms of back being that powerful and that strong. And honestly, you couldn't tackle him. You know, if you went high, he would just fend you off. If you went low, he'd bounce you off. And I'd have a couple of goes at tackling him. And I actually did tackle him. You know when he gets so low and they bounce you and you just rock back?
Yeah.
He just bounced me. I rocked right back. He's only gone and tripped over me then, hasn't he, on his way through?
Happy days. Happy days. Down. Have that, mate. They all count.
Give me whiplash.
They all count. You see, at the weekend, you won't have seen it because you're busy. Maro Itoje came back for Sarri's, played pretty well. Falatau was, by the way, unreal. He was that good. Unreal.
Brilliant.
He carried the ball 19 times for 120 metres or something crazy like that.
Oh, that's
just
good.
Insane. Like, he's so under the radar, so good. Maro Itoje carried the ball flat and straight into Nathan Catt, who can hit.
Yeah.
And he's a strong boy, and he's good enough to play for England. In fact, a year from now, if he stays fit for the next year, he will be playing for England. He's very, very good. He bounced off Nathan Catt twice. Nathan Catt came back at him twice, and Catt is a seriously tough dude. Like, he's a pretty lovely bloke, but a pretty mean hombre.
Yeah.
He won't like that, but he will laugh about it still. But it was like, that was serious power from Maro. Serious power, because everyone thinks Maro's enormous because he's so good. He's not enormous. He's quite big.
Yeah.
But that was mega power.
Last question, shall we?
Last question. David Woodcock.
Woodcock.
Brilliant. Woody. Absolutely brilliant. Did you ever tell anyone, Shanks, what happened to Ollie Smith? We did, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Oh, I saw him at the weekend as well.
Did you?
And Will Skinner.
Skins, great guy.
Yeah.
We say that about everyone. We don't like everyone. There are some real dicks about. But Will Skinner is not one of them.
They were, you know, tailored shorts.
Of course,
deck shoes, Ralph Rampolo, glasses up, collars up.
Skins works out there now, doesn't he? Or something.
I'm not sure. Saw them back up, but saw them both. Ollie Smith, is coaching at
Barking. We have done this.
No, we haven't.
Haven't we?
I found out, but I forgot to mention.
Oh, you let down.
He's now coaching at Barking. weighing up some options. Got a few different things in the pipeline.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, that's what he's doing right now.
Okay.
I mean, if anyone's got any other questions about what ex players are doing now, I will do my best to find out.
Yeah, and you can contact us in these ways: email contact@flatsandshanks.com. Have I made that up? Is that right?
No, yeah. Contact@flatsandshanks.com. We actually get quite a lot of emails through, so keep them coming.
Yeah, we do actually.
Go on our Twitter account, which is @flatsandshanks.
Facebook, Flats and Shanks, and the other thing is another.
No, that's it. We just need need reviews. So keep reviewing
on iTunes positively. And as we said before, we are, and we don't want to go too far, but we are willing to slaughter people physically who don't say nice things about us. So there are ways and means to find out. And I went to school with an IT nerd who built a company and sold it for loads of money, so I can get him to find out. His name's Sumit, and he's a great guy, and he will find out where you live. Okay. This week, Tom, I've got a winter barbecue to prepare for. Okay, I've got a lot of mates coming over.
Nice.
You can come if you want. I think I've invited you.
Yeah,
actually,
it's on Saturday. I can't. I've got to take some customers to the Blues game.
Doing some media stuff. Yeah,
I think loads of media, mate. Always the face for it.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of Christmas parties this week as well.
Oh, nice.
And then I'm off to Cobra Rugby Club, part of NatWest, something or other.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, it's not something or other. It's I've done a bit of work for NatWest.
Okay,
yeah.
Put that in there.
Yeah.
DHL NatWest.
Yeah,
such a slut.
Right.
I'm just doing it for the love of the game. I'm not doing. Oh, if we're plugging people.
Yeah.
You're plugging people that have actually paid you to do some work, like NatWest and DHL. I'm going to plug someone who hasn't paid me, and who I've just given money to for product, but they're really, really good. I've just this morning before you arrived, I was on the armchair. You might have seen me. I was ordering my box of meat for my winter barbecue.
Nice.
This weekend, I do use a local butcher as well. It's really, really good in town near me.
Yeah.
But I've ordered a shed load of meat, like basically a farm's worth.
Yeah.
From a place called Field and Flower. They sponsor. I think they sponsor the Egg Chaser Boys, actually.
Okay.
I think they sponsor them. They don't sponsor us
yet.
One day maybe, but some good meat coming. So we'll let you know all about the Christmas barbecue next week.
Yeah, hope you enjoy. Goodbye.
Ta-da.
Thanks for listening to this podcast, which is brought to you by Acast. Like you, millions of people enjoy podcasts every week. Acast works with thousands of amazing shows, reaching the most engaged, loyal, and desirable audiences on demand. For more information about advertising, sponsorship, and branded content opportunities for your business, contact us using sponsor@acast.com.